So when my son or my daughter grabs instead of asking, or lashes out instead of using his or her words, is rude or hurtful instead of kind and respectful, I've learned to say, try again, please. It's a way of saying that what they have done is not acceptable, and that I know that they can do better. And that this is their opportunity to behave appropriately and move forward. It puts up a big stop sign and also an arrow in a better direction. But in order to be able to say those words, you always have to be prepared for the possibility that you're going to get another handful of macaroni and cheese on your face. Today's scripture passage comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, his gospel passage. It's the version in Luke of what Matthew calls the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon is the source of many of Jesus' most beloved and most memorable teachings, such as the Beatitudes, which were in the lectionary last week. In this week's passage, which immediately follows those blessings and woes, Jesus teaches his followers that when someone strikes them on one cheek, they are to turn the other cheek. And when someone tries to take their outer garment, they should surrender even their shirt. It's one of his most distinctive teachings, and one that Christians have long struggled with and puzzled over. Too often Christians have heard these words as a call to meekness, docility, and passivity. We have assumed that turning the other cheek means patiently enduring violence, meekly submitting to abuse, silently suffering mistreatment. As a child in Sunday school, I was taught that this passage meant that if someone was mean to me, the Christian thing to do was not to retaliate, but simply to tolerate it. That's what our teacher taught us, and probably what she had learned in Sunday school from her teacher and her teacher before her. Kingdoms and empires have taught this lesson in this way to their subjects. In the days of slavery, white supremacist ministers preached this lesson in this way to enslaved Africans. Abusive spouses and parents have used it against their victims. The supposed message is that if we act like doormats and punching bags in the face of violence and harm, God will reward us in heaven. But is that what Jesus is saying? I don't think so. Biblical scholar Walter Wink offered a new interpretation of this passage, noting the differing cultural significance of a backhand slap versus hitting with a fist or the palm of the hand. Looking at the legal codes of the time, Wink notes that the fine for striking an equal with the back of the hand was 100 times as much as the fine for striking an equal with a fist, and there was no penalty for backhanding someone of a lower social station. A backhand slap was the normal way of admonishing inferiors, he writes. Masters backhanded slaves, husbands, wives, parents, children, men, women, Romans, Jews. Luke argues that when Jesus teaches his followers to turn the other cheek, he is suggesting that they demand to be engaged as an equal, upsetting the balance of power by refusing to either fight back or accept their aggressor's dominance. Perhaps Wink is right, or perhaps he's stretching his inferences a bit far, but either way, he touches on something that is important. Turning the other cheek is not an act of resigning and acceptance. Jesus does not say if anyone strikes you on one cheek, let them strike you again as many times as they want. He doesn't say if anyone strikes you, look meekly down at the ground. He doesn't say if anyone strikes you on one cheek, be still and silent and passive. If we listen with fresh ears, we can perhaps hear the power of this teaching. If anyone strikes you on your cheek, he says, surprise them. Don't do what they're expecting, don't cower, nor fight back, with your cheek still singing and your eyes still watering. Look them in the eye and say, now were directed to the African-American community of Montgomery, Alabama, as the bus boycott came to an end. The guidelines gave advice to African-Americans boarding racially integrated buses, a new voice for that time and place, to sum up the principles Jesus was espousing when he told his followers to turn the other cheek. If there is violence in word or deed, must not be our people who commit it. Be quiet but friendly, proud but not arrogant, joyous but not boisterous. Be loving enough to absorb evil and understanding enough to turn an enemy into a friend. The document offers some specific strategies, some of which might sound odd to our ears so many years later. Do not deliberately sit by a white person unless there is no other seat, Reverend King and his colleagues advise their readers. Later they counsel, if another person is being molested, do not arise to go to his defense, but pray for the oppressor and use moral and spiritual force to carry on the struggle for justice. It's a little bit shocking now to hear this admonition not to advocate for one another, not to defend someone from harassment. But Dr. King was interpreting what it meant to turn the other cheek, resisting the instinct to slip into adversarial relationships, surprising enemies with an unexpected response. It means neither acquiescing nor escalating, but flipping the script and stepping into the role of teacher, seeing the person who is doing harm and evil as a child of God, and offering them the blessing and the gift of a second chance. Try again, please. Truth be told, it is perhaps a mistake that we tend to envision ourselves in the role of the person who is trying to turn the other cheek. The Reverend T. Denise Anderson, in her commentary on this text, writes, sometimes I am the person Jesus is talking about here, not the one to whom he is talking. That is, perhaps sometimes we are the person turning the other cheek, but other times we are the ones who have, intentionally or inadvertently, slapped someone across the face, leaving them stoned by our words or our silences, our action or our inaction. And in those moments, sometimes we are given the blessing of the other cheek. The blessing of the vulnerability of someone we have hurt, reaching out through their pain to extend a chance to try again. Nobody ever owes us their other cheek. We are not entitled to a second chance, a conversation or an explanation. We're not entitled to that when we have hurt someone. But when we are given that gift, it is a moment for growth, a moment to right or wrong, a moment to grow in faith. love it.